y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hello. My name is Miguel Fuller.
My name is Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
And this is Miguel and Holly Uncensored. It is our uncensored podcast that we do every week. It drops at noon at hot1015tampabay.com or on the Hot 101.5 app. Or if you have an iPhone, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. And just make sure to leave us a rating and a little review. We'd appreciate it. So where are we in our lives right now this week after Valentine's and after Gasparilla and after the Super Bowl? I'm bleeping tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
And I feel like the weather is even like doesn't know what it wants to do. I feel like this is a weird time in life. Like, yeah, the big, like, you know, main rush of holidays is done finally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, St. Patty's Day is about
I
to be
know,
here.
I know, but it's not going to be here for another month. Here. I feel like we have a month to rest. And like the weather doesn't know what it's doing. I feel like pollen just kicked me in the face. Like everything itches. I don't know what's happening.
It's the worst.
It's that weird time of year when you don't know what season it is. You're not really sure what time it is. Like, when is the sunset? I don't know. We just don't know what's happening. Is that weird to say?
Holly, do you know where you are?
No.
No? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. A couple of reviews that I just wanted to go over that you all have left on the iTunes app. Thank you so much. This is from I'll Always Love You 3000. Or did I read this one last week? I don't think so. It's amazing to see a group of people that can come together and have a genuine conversation where society has an influence what's being said. The first podcast I listened to was with Will, our boss, and there was some religious content involved, but it was a very tasteful conversation. Today in society, we tiptoe and dance around these topics, but it's so refreshing to see this conversation being talked about in such an open environment. I'll definitely be listening to more podcasts.
Mm. I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Holly, who are you voting for in the election?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know who's up.
Honestly, same. I mean, I pay attention, but I know it's coming up, and I know every year Miguel's like, you better vote, and I do, but I feel like it's so far out right now that I'm like, it's just so much drama in that world that it's like, if I dive in, and I'm just going to be brought down by all that just negative, yeah.
I mean, I feel like obviously if you're a Republican and you're voting for Donald J. Trump, it is what it is. That's your candidate. And,
right.
You know, when we get to the main election. But if you're on the liberal side, and this is where I feel comfortable talking about politics, because we don't do it on the show because that's not what that our on-air show is designed for.
No.
And I've always freely talked about it on here. But if you are a Democrat or liberal or whatever you want to describe it, we're trying to figure out where our party's going and trying to figure it out through the candidates that we have. And this is the first time probably since high school that I've genuinely just kind of stuck my head in the sand. And awesome. I know that when we're voting in the Florida primaries.
It's coming up. It wasn't the
it
last
is.
Day to register.
I don't know when it was.
Like, I think
early
it was
this week.
Recently, yeah.
Was it? Okay.
It was like the last day to register to vote in the primaries.
And I still haven't like dove in really to decide. There's a link that I think the Washington Post has put together if you're a Democrat where you sort of like answer some questions about your beliefs about like the economy and this, that, social issues. And then it says which Democratic candidate do you most represents you.
Align with?
Yeah, exactly. And so it sort of helps you in that fashion. And so I was waiting until probably the next debate happens, I think, either this week or next week between the Democrats because they, you know, Michael Bloomberg is now in the race officially. And so I wanted them to get through one more debate and then I would sort of delve into the issues to see.
Yeah.
But like you, I've been the same. Like I used to have CNN on my house all the time. Since the election in 2016, I turned it off. I was like, I can't. It's so much negative energy all the time. I couldn't do it.
And it seems to me like wherever you go for that type of information, there is some type of bias.
Right.
And yeah. and I mean, not that I want to have just all facts. I like to know opinions as well, but it makes it so difficult when you're watching things to get stuck in like a confirmation bias where you're only suddenly hearing things either that you don't want to hear or that you do want to hear. And it just sucks right now.
It is. To me, what makes it sad is that we can't have an open conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to be able to have a conservative come on the show or on the podcast and like talk about why they believe what they believe, because I'm not a person that thinks that every single person who voted for Donald Trump is a racist or is a homophobe or hates women.
It's just not so.
It's not. But I think that the loudest voices in the room that tend to take the air out of everything, the ones that try to speak for everyone, are the ones that are the most extreme.
Absolutely. And it goes the same way for the left, because right. sometimes when I'm looking, because I mean, I classify myself as a liberal as well. But sometimes I get so fed up with, the hatred that the ultra left is spewing too,
right.
because it's not necessarily all factual, and they're making points that I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
right.
and it's a lot of the extremists that are the loudest and mm-hmm. make it seem like no one's in the middle. When I have a feeling that most people are somewhere in the middle.
Most people want you to stay out their bedrooms, to leave my money alone, and like fix stuff with the money that you have taken away from me.
Correct.
That's it. We just think about it happening in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I wish that we could get to that point where we can talk about it. Because, I mean, even back in the day on our on-air show, we would talk about, like, the State of the Union. Or we would talk about, like, if the president made some big news or whatever. We don't even touch it anymore. Not even one lick. Mm-mm. Because here is the sad fact is that we work for a company that has to get money from advertisers. And advertisers want a big listening audience to advertise their message to. And right now we live in the time that even if we just came on here after the State of the Union and we said, here are the three big points that Trump said, and then Nancy Pelosi ripped up his speech afterwards and gave no opinion and said, just this is what happened. Somebody would attack us and be like, well, why are you talking about Nancy Pelosi? That's disrespectful to what the president said. And then somebody would say, well, why didn't you combat what the president said? He was spewing lies, but you didn't say anything about it. And it's like, you can't even just present the facts as they are without someone getting offended with how you even presented the facts.
Yeah.
Which is why, because we work for a company that has to have money. That's how we pay for our lives and we keep the lights on and how we're able to buy prizes to give you. If we talked about it, you wouldn't listen. Yeah. And that's where we are in society. And it's so sad.
Because
I miss those days.
It's actually a little scary when you think about it, because it's being made to be such a controversial thing to even mention it, not have an opinion, mention it, that it's like, I'm just not going to. And then that's when bad shit happens, when now no one's talking about it and things just slip right on by. But it's like you can't even talk about it because someone is going to attack you personally and your intelligence level and whatever else. And they're going to call you names and they're going to tell your mom should die or whatever. And I'm just like, okay, well, here's what's going on at the zoo today. Like, it's absurd.
I'm curious, Scott, when you were at USF, because you just graduated in the spring of 2019, what was the climate like around 2016, the election on the campus of USF?
It's very much, wow. It was actually very scary, I think, for a lot of students because USF is filled with a lot of international students. Like, that is a huge population of USF, and we're very proud of that. And I think a big concern was in 2016, the one example I'll use, because I don't, you know, again, it's a very delicate subject. It's like, I remember I had one friend, and his biggest worry was like, well, if Trump gets elected, like, I'm going to be, like, removed pretty much from either the program. I won't be able to stay here.
Where was he from?
I think he was from, Trinidad, or I had other friends from South America. Mm-hmm. I had friends that were even facing problems with, you know, I don't really know all the policies again. Like, I stayed pretty far back from politics, but either with acts that allowed, like, students that were born in the U.S., let's say they're illegal, let's say, whatever, I don't even like saying that, but they don't have documentation of U.S., but they were born in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still allowed to go to school and everything like that. But their biggest concern was, well, if this happens, like, I won't be able to go to school. I didn't have a choice. I was born here, or I was taken here when I was very young. I didn't have anything to do with this, but now I'm about to be removed from the one thing that's going to be able to help me get past this, like, to the next opportunity.
Right.
That was the biggest I remember that so vividly. My friend, like, we sat there, like, midnight, watched it happen. He was like, well, this is it. Like, right. I'm about to graduate, and, like, I don't know if I'm going to even be able to, because whatever happens in the next policy, I might be removed from school, which is just mind-baffling to me even to think about, because it's like, I didn't have that thought, but a lot of other students had that concern.
And I think that is sort of what should drive anyone, if you're a conservative or liberal, should drive you into at least knowing what's being talked about and what's at stake. Because everything you do in your life is touched by politics. The fact that you have to wear a seatbelt when you drive, or that you can't look at your phone when you drive, or how your food is prepared, or the fact that we don't have plastic straws in St. Pete. Everything you do is touched by politics. And so that's why I rail on you, Scott, or you, Holly, to vote, because everything you do is affected. And I know sometimes it can be a bit much, but, like, that's our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, like, the last election, I got a paper ballot that I took home,
mm-hmm.
and I just sat there, and for everything, even, like, the judges that we did in Pinellas County, I, like, went and I would, like, Google their name, and, like, I'd look at, like, one news story from the Tampa Bay Times, not an opinion piece, but, like, here's, like, what they've been reporting on. Then I would, like, look at their website to see, like, what are the issues, and then I'd be like, all right, this is aligned with what I want. This doesn't align with what I like. And then I would vote accordingly. And there were a couple people that were conservative that I voted for. That's because there was one race, and I don't remember the specifics of it, but there was one local race here in St. Pete where the woman was just, like, she was liberal, but she was crazy. Like, she had, like,
no,
all these, like, I don't remember. I wish I could
remember
the specifics of it, but it was, like, a crazy ass story.
Yeah.
And, like, all the people in politics that are liberal in Tampa Bay who had endorsed her, once they found out all this stuff, they were like, you know, there are lots of options out there, and maybe she's not the best one. I was like, girl, this is not good. But I would have never known that if I didn't do the research.
Yeah.
And so that's what it comes down to. So it's interesting to see how this is going to pan out as we get closer and closer to the election, because I have no clue how hateful it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of. So moving on from politics.
Yes, please.
There you go, yeah.
How was everyone's Valentine's Day?
Oh, I can't wait to tell you about this.
What happened?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't do anything. I'm in a long-distance relationship. I literally didn't do anything. Like, my girlfriend had exams. We went to Franklin Manor, and I hung out with friends. Actually, you know what? Let me take a step back. It was actually very nice, because I got to hang out with some people that I didn't get to see for a while, and I got to take some time to not really work and just enjoy a little bit. Obviously, I had to wake up and then go to work, but I got to, like, sit back and actually just catch up with friends, which is very nice. It was almost like, you know, they always had the Galentine's Day. What is it, Galentine's
Day? Galentine's,
yeah. I was like a Bro-entine's Day, where I just got to talk with some bros and catch up and just have fun with friends, which is cool, but it was different. That was weird.
Did you talk to your girlfriend at all on Valentine's Day? I mean, did y'all just, like, ignore each other on that day?
No. We never ignore. We find our time to talk and FaceTime and everything, and it's usually, like, randomly at, like, 12:02. We'll be like, bring. All right, 5 minutes here. Then it'll be, like, 9 o'clock. Last night I got a FaceTime. I was, like, midnight. I'm like, girl, I'm dead asleep. Like, I woke up this morning. I was like, oh, rats. But that's kind of just the nature of the beast at this point. But, yeah, we still talked and everything. But, yeah, that's just different to be like, all right, Valentine's Day. Have a great day. Love you. Enjoy your exam. I know you're stressed out, so I'm just going to leave you alone. See ya. Bye.
Were you sad at all?
Yes, but also not really, because I'm so thankful I did this, but I visited her the weekend before. I think if I didn't see her the weekend before, I would have been like, damn, this hurts. But I was like, I felt so much better. I felt like my cup was filled back up because I got to see her.
Yep.
I got to spend quality time. We've been having great conversations. It's like, everything's fine. And I think even somebody asked her the same question. I think she was in lab, like, working on whatever, like, thing they have. They have, like, fake dummies with fake teeth and everything. And the person next to her was like, well, do you miss your boyfriend? And she's like, no. Like, I see him. I talk to him. And, like, honestly, if we were together right now, like, it'd probably be so much, like, she would be so stressed out that we'd end up just butting heads. Because I'd be like, hey, let's go get a steak. And she'd be like, I'm carving a tooth. Like, let me carve my tooth. And so it's actually really good right now that She is grinding away at her stuff, and my plate is being super filled up currently. So it's kind of like we're matching our levels right now.
This just hit me that I wonder if this is, like, the best thing for you two. If, like, the universe wants you two to be together in the future, that, like, this is what's needed for you two to have a long-lasting relationship.
To grow individually, but also together.
Yeah.
Now, I told her that immediately. Because I knew as soon as, like, I am so into my dream and my goal of, like, look, I'm taking off. I don't know what I got to do, but I'm going to do whatever it takes. And she knew that, and I was also supporting her. I was like, look, you got to do whatever you take. And I know dental school is going to be no joke. That is in the medical field. You're going to be studying all the time. If you were here, and she almost went to a school here. And the one thing that I said is, like, I'm very thankful that, you know, we do have this opportunity where it's like, we could just grind. Like, I don't have to go worry about, like, oh, my gosh, we need to do a date. Like no, I'm going to go work my ass off for 13 hours a day, and hopefully it pays off, just like you. I think if she was here still and we both had this level right now, let's say, like, to this day, where I have, like, four different events on the same day and she's studying all day and we didn't get to see each other, but one person got a little bit of free time and the other person didn't, we'd probably end up clashing a little bit more right now.
Because you would feel like you had to.
Yes, you have that feeling of like, oh my, we have to talk to each other. Right now, we're kind of like, it's weird, but it's so nice to be like, all right, let's just FaceTime 5 minutes. And sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could have more. But I'm really learning to, like, just appreciate that for what it is.
Yeah.
Because I also have those moments where I'm working, she'll FaceTime me and I can't talk. I'm like, look, like, we're in it, we're grinding, but it also feels like we're closer now because of it. It's so weird because last semester was not like this.
Right.
But now that we're on the same page and it's like I could take that 5 minutes and carry that through the rest of the day, it's pretty powerful. It's pretty nuts.
I feel like that was the transition phase, which probably everyone goes through when your life changes a little bit or you're shifted out of your norm. Because everybody's relationship gets to like a pattern. You get, I don't want to say a rut, but you get into like a pattern with your relationship. And you see this with couples that have been together for a long time. They get like, it almost gets stale. Mm-hmm. So, and you guys are so young, it's almost like you needed a shakeup to see what life is all about as an adult, maybe not in each other's face all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I told her that, too. I was like, I love what I do, and I want to work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to do right now. And I know Miguel and I have had this conversation before. It's like, you got to take time to do stuff. And I do. I'm putting that on my list of things. I have a list for everything. Like, spend more time with people. Do more random shit. Just have fun with life. But I love that. But I also love just the fact of, like, when I get to work and feel like I'm accomplishing another level, I'm like, hell yeah. And that's what I want to dedicate my time to. It's like, all right. I have events. I don't want to cancel any because I feel like I have to hang out with so-and-so or do whatever. I'm like, I just want to work right now. That's what I want to do. I want to show the world that I'm worth it and I'm going to make it. And so let me just work my way through it. And honestly, it's a blessing that my friends have moved away. I'm in a long-distance relationship right now because now it's like, yes, I have some friends here, but I have all the time in the world to work. I have no excuses is pretty much the thing. It's like I could work and put as much work as I can into my own craft so eventually it'll pay off.
I'm really curious. Holly, you posted an article maybe a week ago that I meant to read. And then just like with everything, like you see like three things you want to read on Facebook and then you forget.
Yeah.
But what you just said, Scott, reminded me of that article you posted, Holly, about how as Americans or in our society today that like we're so busy that like we lose ourselves. Do you remember that article?
Yeah, but that was a while ago. It was a few weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah. Because then, okay, hold on a second. Let me pull it up because then I can better explain. Hold on, tap dance for a second.
Because
I do have a point. Like, just one more point before I can go further for this because I want to make sure this is clarified. Like, I really do think it is crucial for any relationship and anything like that, especially because Mary and I are so young. I knew we needed this time to be able to work on ourselves. I think that's the biggest thing from having this long distance is, like, if we were together, I don't think we ever would have had that time to purely, because we were together since I was 19. And so it's like being able to just sit and like, all right, I'm alone working on myself. Like, yes, I'm in a relationship, but I'm getting to work on me. If I want to go do this, I could go do that. If I want to work, I could go do that. If I want to hang out with people, I could go do that. I get to purely just focus on me, which, you know, if we're able to like make it through this whole thing and things work out, I'll at least know that I'm like, I had that time to myself. I got to work on myself and do the things that I wanted to do and not always have to go, you know, and have the second half of me working alongside with it. It's actually kind of nice to think about it that way, to say, okay, I worked on me. now I could come together with somebody else.
That's how fascinating life is. Like, when you say that, it makes me recoil a little because I'm thinking of when I was 23 and just how, like, I was as dedicated as you are to learning this radio craft and advancing in my career. But at the same time, I had always been so regimented that I also wanted to play and I wanted to have fun and go out and do it. But everybody's experience is different. And normally, Holly and I, we both said that no one should be like trying to get married when you're like 21, 22, 23, 24. You need to live your life because who you are now is going to be a completely different person when you're 30, 35,
it's
40.
It's just a fact of life. And yeah. I think when you're in your early 20s, I think, Scott, you're excluded from this particular blanket statement. But a lot of people who are in their early 20s think that once you get into the adult world, that's it.
Right.
That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes kind of like a bigger picture thinker to realize this is not who I'm going to be. I didn't know that. I thought when I was like 21, 22, I was like, oh, here's me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like. Boom, boom, boom.
That's who I is.
Yes. And then you live. Then you live some more. And then you get some more experiences. And then you get some, you know, crappy stuff that happens and amazing things that happen. And you learn, oh, wait. My mind has just been changed a little bit. Maybe that's not who I was.
Right.
And if you boo up with someone right away and you either by whatever means don't grow into that new person, it's going to happen some point. Or if you stay stuck in who you are, you're not really experiencing everything that life has for you. Mm-mm. And unless you're doing like what Scott and Mary are doing, where it's like you're taking some time to grow as individuals, but still grow together as individuals. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about this even like for this example, like last night, it takes a turn where I think if you're together, and maybe this isn't everyone, so don't go attacking me on my social media, but a lot of relationships, let's just say like the boys want to go out. I mean, the boys. But your girlfriend's there, and you're like, I'm just going to stay in. You know, because I've done this. I was in a relationship where it's like I just didn't want to do anything. I was like, guys, I'm going to get in trouble if I do that. So let me just not. But right now, it's so healthy in the way this relationship is working that I'm like, even last night, she's like, hey, like, I tried to FaceTime and we couldn't talk. But I'm going to a brewery with my friends. Like, I'm going to be out really late, all that stuff. I just wanted to say, hey, I love you and everything like that. And, like, maybe before, let's say if we're together, I would have been, like, kind of jealous because I'm like, oh, I want to hang out with you. I want to be like, let me come. But I'm like, no. Like, last night, I was like, do it. You're living your life. There's nobody to hold you back. Nobody's going to tell you, no, you can't. The only thing that's different is like you're just not going to go hook up with random Bill in the corner. You got your boy Scotty.
Yeah.
But it's like, go do your thing. And that's the same with me. And I think it was harder when we were together to have those experiences.
Yeah.
It was so different.
Absolutely.
It's like, as much as we would let each other do that, of course, it's healthy, you'd still be like, well, you know, just I'm here.
Yeah.
You didn't want to leave your partner just chilling alone.
Exactly.
But now it's like, if I go out and do my own thing, we're like, all right, cool. Two thumbs up. She goes out and does her own thing. I'm like, high five. That's dope. Have a good time. I want you to live your life. And so eventually, if we come back together, we have these experiences that we didn't feel like we missed out on anything like that.
I'm very envious because I feel like it took me until about age 33, a.k.a. 6 months ago.
Last year.
When I finally learned that lesson with my boyfriend, Abe, because there would be times where he would go hang out with friends and I'd be like,
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You would be like, well,
must be nice. What's going to happen?
It's a lot of bitterness.
Right. And now I'm like, why aren't you going with him? You should go. Please let me be miserable by myself today because I'm in a miserable mood and you're feeling good and energetic.
Yeah.
Go have fun with him and then I'll be here sulking in whatever energy that I'm dealing with right
and
now.
And then you work yourself out of it. You're
Absolutely.
Not expecting your partner to make you come out of it because your partner is not here to complete you.
Nope.
Your partner is here to enrich and enhance your life. But if you're not okay with who you are and learn how to deal with your own shit without spewing it on everybody else, it's not healthy.
No.
So, I mean, it's really a good thing to learn who you are and how to handle your own feelings, emotions, do the self-work. The biggest problem that I think that we have in this society, and the article is great. I think we should post it somewhere.
Yeah, let's do that.
After that, because you do need to read it, Miguel. It is so on. I had forgotten I posted it. But now that I'm, like, looking at it again, I'm like, bitch, yes! This is so good. So, I think that the problem is that we are so conditioned to what society tells us is what we're supposed to do or supposed to feel. We've all seen the movies and we've seen the shows about this is how it goes and this is what you do. Nobody wants to really put in the hard, and it is hard, work of introspection, figuring out who the hell you are and how the hell you got to be that way.
Right.
Because sometimes it hurts.
Mm.
And who's like, well, yeah, sign me up for some pain.
Yeah, I can't wait to be hurt today.
No, that's why so many of us drink or do drugs or work ourselves to death or, you know, play video games all day because we are trying to escape that pain, whatever it could be from, that we got going on inside. And then when we don't deal with it and we get with another person that's also not dealing with it, how in the hell are you supposed to have a life and work on things together when you haven't even dealt with your own shit? Then you're going to just continue the cycle of putting it on your kids. They're going to be fucked up. They're going to grow up to be fucked up adults. And the cycle continues.
Yeah.
And this is what the America that we're living in is. And that's part of the article that you're talking about, Miguel. The name of the article is "The American Life is Killing You."
Yeah, if you just, we'll put it on the Facebook page, the Miguel and Holly Facebook page, and we'll just say like, hey, we referenced this in the podcast that we dropped on February 21st, 2020. But like, if you're listening to this and it's like 2021 or 2022 and you're like, wait, I'm not searching through all those posts. What's the name of the article again?
The name of the article is "The American Life is Killing You," and I found it on Medium.com, written by somebody named Eric with a K, Rittenberry, R-I-T-T-E-N-B-E-R-R-Y. But it's fantastic, and it's like kind of philosophical, but it's basically saying, let me just read the very first opening quote that they use in this article. It says, "I believe we are a species with amnesia. I think we've forgotten our roots and our origins. I think we're quite lost in many ways. And we live in a society that invests huge amounts of money and vast quantities of energy, ensuring that we all stay lost. A society that invests in creating unconsciousness, which invests in keeping people asleep so that we're just passive consumers of products and not really asking any of the questions."
Damn.
You get stuck in your life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's so easy. And it's much, that's why it's much easier to do this. It's much easier to wake up, be like, oh, shit, it's Monday. You roll out of bed. You do your exact same routine. You get to work. You do your work. You talk about the same crap with your coworkers. You bitch about your spouse. You bitch about your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Then you go get drinks after work like you always do. And then you're going to go party on the... It is the routine that's killing you because it's being, we are being forced to be that way because it keeps everybody in line.
Right.
Nobody really has to do too
much. Rocks the boat.
It's super easy to fall right into that and just keep on doing it. But until you take a look at, well, wait a minute. Okay. Why do I do this so much? Why do I drink so much? Why do I only want to go, you know, get drunk every weekend with these same friends? Maybe you're having fun.
Right.
Of course.
And I mean, it can definitely be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how could my life be different?
Right.
That's the question right there. How could I be happier? How can I have a more fulfilled life?
Right, yeah. Right.
I think it's something that you when you reach it, you don't realize. And I feel like I've been there for a few months now where I've just been thinking, I want to do something else, but I don't know what it is. Because I've had a couple of friends over the past couple of years that, for whatever reasons, have like either stopped drinking or calmed down their drinking, or just going out. And at first it's like, well, bitch, you think you better than us because I don't drink anymore. But then it's like, I like where they're headed because they're learning about themselves and they're improving themselves. And that's not necessarily me. But I think one of the things that I'm trying to discover about who I am and like why I drink, I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm like figuring it out. And I love that Abe and I are figuring it out together because there's like some weekends where I'm like, I don't want to do the same thing that we've been doing all the time. Like I want to go hang out with a different person to get a different perspective, or like, let's go to Tampa instead of St. Pete and just like look at something different, you know? And I think especially because of, for me personally, because of our jobs, and Holly and I, over the past 12 years we've worked together, we've gone through some like crazy ups and downs. And like our jobs have always been that, like, the change or the interesting thing that I needed. But this is the first time we've been here for 5 years almost now. And it's pretty routine. Like, I know what we're going to do on this show and with our careers. And so now I'm like, how do I switch it up? And I'm getting this, like, itching and yearning that, like, all right, it's time for a level up. It's time for something else.
But maybe the level up is you.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. So that's why that article spoke to me when I read that first paragraph. And I was like, well, fuck me in the ass.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, you might see something like that or you might notice it. And then you go, that seems like a lot of work. I'm not ready for that.
Right.
And then maybe it became a little bit in your conscious. And then you're like, okay, you know what? I'm not. That seems like an awful lot. And I'm just not ready. Because the truth of it is, once you kind of get going down that path of, like, I know this seems like, and this is where the people that aren't ready yet will fall off.
Where they'll be like, stupid.
They're like, too much. That path of awakening to who you really are and what you can really accomplish in your life, it's a little heavy. And it's a little bit of a mind fuck. Like, especially if you're one of the people that have just been going and are with blinders on almost. Mm-hmm. You hear this or you see something like that and you're just like, that's too much. I don't know.
Right.
That's too much. I'm going to shrink back and go this way. Because once you get into it, you really got to come to grips with yourself.
Right.
And learning about yourself is, I think, one of the hardest things because you have to really take a hard look, and instead of making judgments on others like you're so used to doing, you got to turn it all in yourself, and it's hard. And sometimes you have to, like, look at your parents, and maybe you've only been taught that your parents are good and your parents were doing the best they can. I'm not saying they weren't, but that doesn't mean that you don't have some scars from how you were brought up. And then you got to look at it, and then you're like, this hurt. This is it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. Mm. Once you push through the uncomfortability, you get to a whole new plateau, and it's amazing, and then you can keep going up and up and up. But until you're ready to do all that, you're going to just, close the blinds. I'm going to go back in here and just go sit in my bar like I'm used to. Can't we just do things like we used to? Yes. Until you're ready to wake up a little bit, just keep on doing what you do.
But when you know, girl, get ready, honey.
It's a whole awakening.
Holly, what's all of your social media?
All right. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok with Radio Holly. And then on Facebook, if you want to hit me up, it's Holly on Hot 101.5. Just type it in.
Scotty the Bid.
Mine is at Scott Tavlin on Instagram and Facebook. And then on TikTok, Scotty the Body Hot 101.5.
Oh.
With a little jingle.
There's a new email that just came in. Mine is Miguel Fuller, M-I-G-U.
I email. We get it.
All right. Miguel Fuller on Instagram and Snapchat that I still use and everything else on Twitter. And also on TikTok, hey. Miguel Fuller on there. You can get Miguel and Holly Uncensored on the Hot 101.5 app or hot1015tampabay.com. Or if you have an iPhone, on your podcast app, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. And please rate and subscribe. Until next week, bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.